Cerruto, try it again. Fans on the feet, 6,000 in attendance. The payoff is flied into right field, going back at the warning track, at the wall. It's gone! Go ahead, three-run home run for the senior! Peter Cerruto has given the Indiana Hoosiers the lead!
The Indiana University baseball team dropped the opener of the Troy series Saturday by a score of 8-1. The Hoosiers struggled against Trojan pitcher Luke Lyon, getting only 5 hits on the day. The only Hoosier run was a leadoff homer off the bat of Nick Mitchell. The only multi-hit contributor was Brock Tibbetts. And the other 2 hits came from catcher Jake Stadler and DH Andrew Wiggins. Stadler, Tibbetts, and head coach Jeff Mercer met with the media following the game.
Jake, yeah, you've been hitting the ball with eyes of late. I guess what's kind of, you know, been working for you at the plate?
I mean, today we struggled with it as a team, but just Mercer always talks about, like, sticking to a plan. And for me, my first at bat, I was just trying to see as many pitches as I could, and I drew a walk and kind of just let everybody know, like, what was happening. And then my second at bat, I kind of got away from my plan, but my third at bat, I got back on my plan and was able to put a good swing on it, and luckily enough, it dropped. But just kind of sticking to my plan and, like, what's working for me and just kind of repeating that over and over.
How difficult is it to face a starter of that caliber? I know you guys have seen a lot of good pitching this year, but, you know, he looked like he was getting better than you guys for a lot of the time.
Yeah, he got the best of us for pretty much the whole game, and that's what we talked about after the game was collectively as a team, he was doing the same thing every single time, and we just didn't adjust, plain and simple. We just, guy after guy, just kind of, I don't want to say selfish at bats, but we got away from our plan and what we went over in the scouting report, and he just got the best of us for 8 straight innings, so, or 7, I guess, whatever it was, but we kind of got away from our plan, and he wasn't the best arm we'll see all year, and I mean, he wasn't the worst, but I mean, we've seen better arms and have done better, so.
Brock, you did, though, manage to adjust a little bit, managed to get a decent swing on a pitch. What were you doing differently at that point?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like Jake said, just getting back to, you know, simple approach and, you know, taking what we figured out in the scouting report and just being able to apply it in the game. You know, the first 2 at-bats, just didn't put great swings on the ball, and, you know, the third at-bat was just trying to put the ball in play and, you know, make something happen. Just keep the train rolling.
As you're a leader in the room, Brock, you know, it's been a rough struggle here the past few games. What's the vibe of the room? You know, can you just talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, we know we're capable of just performing better. So just being able to get back to what we do well and, you know, just keeping everything simple, not trying to do too much and, you know, just trusting all the guys around us.
I think today was the first of 8 games in 9 days or something like that. Obviously, this game is one that presents an opportunity every day. Does that kind of give you guys the opportunity to maybe flush this one a little bit quicker?
Yeah, I mean, when you have quick turnarounds, that's the best thing to do. You know, we have early 2 games tomorrow, and, you know, we got 2 midweeks and in the next weekend. So just being able to kind of learn from it tonight and just being able to wake up tomorrow morning, you know, it's a new day. You start 0-0, and, you know, games start 0-0, so it's, you know, just a new opportunity tomorrow.
Coach, the left-handed hitters in particular were obviously pulling quite a bit on the off-speed and were hitting into the shifts a lot. Yeah. Can you just talk a little about what you felt was going on in those situations?
Yeah, it actually was the topic of the conversation that we had. We had it in the middle of the game, and then we had here afterwards. You know, we didn't adjust the way that you would like us to adjust or that we would typically expect us to do. I thought I got a really good scouting report going into it. Had a good plan and a 2-pitch guy. He's been a reliever primarily in the past. And sinker, there is 2 fastball, a sinker and a 4-seam, but the slider is more of a gyro, and so it's a tight little deal. But, yeah, I didn't think it was anything. He did a good job. He just executed plan A in its entirety, and we weren't willing or able or, for whatever reason, capable of kind of hitting out of that. You know, you look at a guy, it'd be different if he landed pitches in and then they hit into the shift. But it wasn't. It was primarily away, and we continued to kind of get out and around those pitches. And I don't know. I talked to, you know, the group. I felt like we had a really good start. Obviously, Mitchell homers to start the game, and it was kind of a fluke deal just because that wasn't his plan. He obviously made a mistake. Mitch worked a long at bat, got a pitch middle in, and hammered it. And then Devin comes up right after that and gets a pitch middle of the way and hammers it, you know, 107, whatever it was, to left center. And, you know, I kind of thought, all right, good. We're locked in on the play. And I think sometimes when you hit balls hard like that early and then you get excited and maybe try to do too much with it. And then we weren't able to get back to where we need to be at. And he found his groove and stayed with it. And they played good defense and took care of the ball and just got away from us that way. But that was the last 20-minute conversation, was that exact question.
Jeff, I know Butcher had a big day for them, three home runs. That ninth inning, the decision to keep Ty in, I know Evan was out there warming in the pen.
Yeah.
How much of that is rooted in you trusting Ty to get through that at-bat, or is that a decision that's more rooted in knowing that you have a lot of innings to make up over the next days?
Both. That's what I told. I felt like we as an offense, we really let Ty down. I mean, that's a tough luck deal, and I feel really badly about it. You're down two in the ninth, and he's your best guy in that moment. You still feel like he's your best guy. We talked about it. It's the third time for the lineup. It's going to be tough for him to go this third time, but you're still down two, and you have 18 innings tomorrow. So if you go to one of your primary guys, you're going out there in a losing effort at that point. And so you stay with Ty, and then he gets burned on it, and he has him down 1-2 and hangs a breaking ball, and the kid had obviously a really good day, but made a good adjustment to that breaking ball and homers it. So, you know, Ty's the one that you know, he's the best kid ever. He's the hardest working as a Greek kid. You feel awful. And then the offense, we just let him down. And he kind of got thrown in a position where, you know, we should have been better offensively. And if you have a tie game, then you go to somebody else, you know, one of your primary guys, where Ty's probably should be done at that point. You know, we didn't get necessarily a good start. We're at, you know, 90, 92 pitches in the fourth inning. So he's out of the game. So Ty has to come in the fifth. So his pitches are – he's at the end of his day. So if you get a better start, then Ty is able to go longer. And if you're able to tie the game or be better offensively, you go to somebody else in that situation. But down two, he's probably still your best bet of the group of guys that are up for in that moment. And it just didn't work. And so I feel terrible for Ty because he had a great outing, did an awesome job, and he's the one that takes it on the chin there. And that stinks. You feel really bad as a coach when a kid that's an awesome kid and a kid you care about a ton and is the heart and soul of the team ends up taking it and wearing it like that. So it's just, I feel bad for Ty. It stinks. It's not fair.
Were you at all disappointed? Obviously, they ran Foley's pitch count up, but his pitch count for Troy, that part of it is his pitch count wasn't going very high. Were you a little disappointed in the way how many quick at-bats there were in the middle of the game when his pitch count was very low for a lot of the game?
Yeah, I was disappointed. I think that would be an accurate assessment of that. Especially feeling like we had a good plan going into it. We didn't execute it. We didn't do it. Yeah, it was frustrating. We had a first pitch of the inning out and then two non-competitive strikeouts. And I know they're young guys, but you feel like they're trained enough to be able to go in there and compete better than that. And no, we didn't respond very well in the middle of the game either.
But I guess my follow-up to that is, what can really be done if he's hammering the zone? I mean,
yeah, we just have to stay home balls. You're right. You're exactly right. You know, my philosophy on the – I don't mind if a guy swings the first pitch in the inning. I don't mind that. But we got to have a pitch that we can't hard and hit it hard and square it up. And then we get behind, and then we chase it. We chase it to break them two pitches down. And then we don't stay on balls. And again, you got some young guys right at the bottom. We took our shot early with the pinch hitter, and so you're not necessarily relying on offense there to the ninth hole in that position. But just being you're right. When he continues to throw strikes and fill it up, you're going to have to put the ball in play, and we have to stay on balls more consistently. And I think it comes, you know, back to is what you want as an offensive player isn't always what the game gives you. And if you're going to – the definition of insanity is you do the same thing over and expect a different result. And so today it was – he was able to do the same thing, and we didn't adjust and we didn't change. And so whether that's an environment thing, you know, we have to make sure that we're prepared for those kind of things, or whether that's just an ego check. And I get it. You know, everybody wants a fastball middle in to hit into the bleachers out there, but that's just not always the way it works. You may have to paper cut somebody to death. You have to go single the other way and fight it out and get a couple guys on, hope you come up with a base hit. And if you do that, then you allow us to manage things differently on the mound. And so the offense, we obviously pitched better than the final score, but the offense didn't really give us a chance with two games tomorrow. And obviously you have two midweeks. So all those games coming up at the same time, the offense didn't give us a chance to help the pitching staff to finish that game, which is disappointing. But you're right. If your guy's filling it up, you're going to have to hit your way through it, and you're going to have to take what he gives you, which today was going to be a single to left center, and we didn't want to do that.
Yeah, to follow up on that, Brandon didn't get an at-bat today. Yeah. We're just on the corners in the second. Are you kind of losing faith in his offensive capability?
I mean, we've got good hitters that are on the bench, and when you've got, you score one in the first, and you only get so many cracks at it to try to get up two, three, four runs, and you know, Austin Bowie the last time out, the kid from Dallas Baptist was a really similar profile, two pitch guy, fastball, breaking ball, and so that's kind of what in the back of my mind is he was able to go out and do a good job against a really similar profile guy from Dallas Baptist. And you know, you're going to kick yourself if you look back at, I mean, to that kid's credit, he had not given up a hit to a right-handed hitter in 16 innings coming into today. So that's a pretty, I mean, that's not a huge sample size, but it's significant enough to have a trend line and say, if I haven't given up a hit to a righty yet, and I've got a guy who's hitting 700 versus righties of this profile, I'm going to take my shot here. And yeah, I would have, Brandon's been fine in practice, but you know, when you have a chance to have the depth that we do on the bench, you try to take your shot. And I thought Austin was the right matchup in that moment and didn't work. Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, but no, he's going to have to get back in there tomorrow. And if the situation comes up again, I would do the same thing to just play the numbers like that, especially because you've got a couple of good defensive guys you can put in there and then more offensive guys later that you can go to and just try to use the depth of your team to your advantage.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about kind of the stretch that you've got coming up. I think before the season we talked, you were kind of talking about how playing a summer sport in the winter necessarily isn't financially feasible. Yeah. Obviously, the weather has kind of messed with your guys' schedule a little bit. I think today was the first of 8 games in 9 days. Do you kind of bring a scenario like this up in conversations about the future of baseball, and especially in this conference when it comes to scheduling and how it's kind of handled at the administrative level?
Yeah, I mean, I this is something that we've all been dealing with for a long time, and obviously we're not doing the. Now again, I would say this: you back the season up a month, you still may run into a situation like these. It's still spring, and there's still opportunities where these things can happen. But when you play a summer sport in the winter, you're just running the risk of those things happening. The big thing is obviously, the scheduling is a big deal, but it's just like the health and safety where you got guys on the field all the time. And this isn't just us. Like, this is across the country, So you got guys playing so many games and you got so many pitches. It's hard to manage. It's hard to manage pitchers. It's hard to manage guys' health. Who's catching when and where and how you guys moved around. So this is a topic of conversation. It's across the country, not just in our league, but across, the SEC, the ACC. You're looking at Tommy John's or, are way up. I mean, you've got guys that – injuries are up, and a lot of it comes down to the weather plays an impact. You have a short ramp up period in the wintertime. You got guys starting their throwing program during their winter break on their own, and then you're trying to ramp them up. You got guys throwing 100 plus pitches in their first outing after having about a month to even get to that pitch count. It's just those things make it really hard. And obviously, we're fortunate to have turf. We're very fortunate, but. Yeah, it puts a strain on guys from a physical standpoint that you would prefer to not have, and then from a management standpoint, it does make it hard. So yeah, it is what it is, and hopefully someday we're able to address those things. I think there is some conversation, hopefully some momentum to have that as we reimagine what college sports look like. But it's at the big thing is just the health and safety of trying to manage those things. Across the country, when you've got weather that is most assuredly going to impact games everywhere, from the deep south to obviously the Midwest, and so yeah, it's something that comes up.
Anything else for Coach?
Any idea who's going to pitch tomorrow or who's available?
Everybody besides Foley and Bothwell. Yeah, I would say you Phillips and Reisdorf will be kind of the main pieces, but I don't know. I want to talk to Coach Clint here for a second, I don't know who would start game one at this point. So we're in a fine spot on the mound. Obviously, we didn't expend anybody besides those two guys today. So I would say Phillips and Reisdorf will be the candidates for game one, but we'll sit and talk about it afterwards.
The Indiana-Troy series concludes with a doubleheader at Bart Kauffman Field at 11 a.m. on Sunday. See you at the BART.